ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I didn't have a maternal instinct in my body. It wasn't something that I had ever really wanted to do.
Alex was never set on having babies. The women in her family had had a rough time during pregnancy and birth. She worries about being left to raise a baby alone. And a part of her also thinks, aren't there enough people on this burning planet already? Then she meets Tom.
He really wanted kids. He was very paternal. He really loved his friends' children. He loved my nieces and nephew. I didn't want it to be a deal breaker in our relationship. So we did come to a compromise that I would have one.
But the family Alex gets, well, it turns out to be a little different to the one she imagines. Welcome to Days Like These. I'm Farz Adraki. This episode is from reporter Tamar Cranswick.
Alex and Tom's relationship starts the old-fashioned way, with alcohol.
We met at the local pub, which is basically where everybody meets their future husband or wife in that town.
Alex and Tom are from the Southern Highlands in New South Wales. It's the sort of place where most people know each other. The sort of place where you're unlikely to meet someone at the local pub you haven't dated.
I approached a friend at the bar that I hadn't seen in some time, and I thought that friend was passing a drink across to me. And I grabbed the drink and started taking a sip, and then Tom tapped me on my shoulder and I turned around, and actually it turned out that the drink was for him. But that's when he offered to buy me a drink.
The connection Alex feels to Tom at that first accidental meeting is instant.
He was just like no one I'd seen before in that town, covered in tattoos, very attractive, and also a bit of a quiet confidence about him. I felt that it struck me kind of like a love at first sight fairy tale moment.
One drink leads to another and another, and Alex and Tom leave the pub together that night. A week later, they meet up again.
On our first date, I did have a thought run through my head that just said, I'm going to marry this man.
Alex finds in Tom a yin to her yang, where she's talkative and outgoing. He's reserved and chooses his words carefully. But despite their differences, the relationship gathers momentum.
I basically started staying at his house almost every night after our first date. And within 6 months I was on the lease. We got a cat together. We decided to move to Sydney. We seemed to just really click very easily. It was a very fuss-free relationship.
They create a world together made up of small moments. Going out for dinner, seeing live music, catching up with friends, lazy weekend breakfasts. They have the committed relationship, the lease, the cat. So, of course, the subject of babies soon comes up.
So at first, it was not something that I wanted at all. He really wanted kids. He really loved his friends' children. He loved my nieces and nephew. He was very fatherly and warm in that sense.
While she doesn't feel like babies are something that she wants, Alex does want to be with Tom. And so after some time and lots of discussion, they come to an agreement.
We did come to a compromise that I would have one. And, you know, there was a part of me that also wanted to know what it was like to have a baby. So I won't say that I felt an immense pressure from him. He didn't ever give me an ultimatum. It was really an ultimatum, I suppose, I made for myself because I knew that he really wanted it.
There's no hurry, though. They're still young and enjoying their life together. Just the two of them. There's other things to do first. Alex and Tom get married. They try to save for a place of their own and dream of what life will be like down the road with a baby. And maybe even a dog. Even when COVID comes, it doesn't knock them off their perch. Tom actually uses it as a chance to change careers.
So he went from a 9-to-5 office job to a personal training job. He'd gone on a fitness journey himself and a bit of a transformation in himself, lost a lot of weight, got very fit, so it did seem like a great fit for him.
Not long after the lockdowns end, Alex and Tom start trying for a baby.
I was in the bathroom getting ready for work, and I was only a couple of days late, and I took a pregnancy test. I poked my head out of the bathroom and called him to the bathroom and just said, I've got something to show you.
Two strong lines on the pee stick. There's no denying it.
I was really excited. I thought this was going to be the next beautiful chapter of our life together, and to watch him grow as a father was something I was really looking forward to.
Through hormone surges, morning sickness and fatigue, Tom's there.
He did do a lot of reading on parenting. So he read his parenting books, I read my birthing books.
But as the cells of the baby continue to multiply in those first few months of pregnancy, Alex begins to notice changes in Tom. He starts dressing like a guy she's not familiar with. Tight workout shirts, short shorts, and bright pastel coloured socks.
And I had made a comment on it. Oh, who are you trying to impress at the gym? He bought new underwear, which is a bit of a red flag if you are the one that's usually buying them for your partner.
Now, all of a sudden, Tom's a Calvin Klein guy. And then there's the day when Tom comes home from the gym smelling of women's perfume.
I recognised it straight away and I went, like, I can smell this perfume on you. And he said, oh, you know what? Maybe when I was replenishing the towels in the girls' change room, some of the perfume got on me because they spray a lot of perfume in there.
Around 5 months into her pregnancy, there's another, more prickly change.
He shaved his pubes for the first time in our eight-year relationship. He just suddenly had no pubes. And I kind of laughed. I was like, why did you shave your pubes? And he was a little bit embarrassed. He was like, I just wanted to change things up. Like, am I not allowed to do that?
Despite Tom's manscaping, things keep cruising along. Alex pushes the seed of any suspicions aside. Life's busy with work and preparations for the birth. But in the lead-up to the due date, Tom is becoming increasingly withdrawn. Finally, just 4 days before the baby is meant to arrive, she confronts him.
We were walking to the cafe up the road from our house and I said to him, I had to insist, I said, something is wrong, you haven't been coming to bed for the past 2 weeks, you've been staying up till all hours of the night, you haven't been talking to me at all, you have to tell me, like, something is wrong.
Then, the bombshell.
He finally admitted that he was having feelings like he wanted to flee. Those were his words, I want to flee, but I don't know why. And I, you know, had a little panic moment thinking, has he met somebody else? Is he just wanting to get out of this relationship? Is he not wanting to be a father? And I asked him, I said, are you cheating on me? Have you met someone? And that was met with quite angry response. No, how could you accuse me of that? I would never cheat on you.
Alex tells herself Tom's freakout is about impending fatherhood. He's getting cold feet, but that's natural given how much their lives are about to change. Tom talks to a mate who suggests he see a professional.
So he booked the psychologist's appointment for a Monday.
And the Sunday before the appointment, they go shopping to buy the very last things they need for the baby.
We were walking back to the car and I felt a splash on my feet and it was happening. My first thought when my waters broke was, this baby can't come now. I need to hold off until he has this psychologist appointment tomorrow.
Babies be babies though. And Alex is in the early stages of labour. Then Sunday turns into Monday. The appointment with the psychologist is missed. And then it's Tuesday and Alex is still in labour.
I thought about what was happening between Tom and I the whole time. I was actually talking about it a lot with him as well.
Alex is trying to convince Tom that everything will be okay. The reassurance is as much for her as it is for him.
I was trying everything to make him want to stay. He was telling me to focus on the birth, that was all that we needed to focus on at that time, and I really needed to stop worrying.
After 48 hours of labour, doctors convince Alex to have an epidural so they can induce the birth.
The labour just wasn't progressing. I had stopped dilating. My cervix was too swollen to open enough because I was pushing against a closed cervix, essentially.
54 hours after her waters break, Alex's son finally makes his first appearance in the world.
They placed him on my chest for skin to skin. It was a beautiful moment. They actually took a lot of photos, and I look back at those photos and Tom was very much looking at our son with a lot of love in his eyes, and I was looking at Tom with a lot of love in my eyes, but yeah, he wasn't looking at me.
Alex spends a few nights in the hospital after the grueling birth. She's battered, physically and mentally. And when she and the baby get home, Tom tries to be supportive.
He was there for me physically. He was great around the house. He would actually feed me food while I was breastfeeding. Like, he was really good in those practical senses.
Alex is doing what she can to make sure Tom's okay too.
I wanted him to do what was good for his mental health and his physical health, and to not be at home with me, seeing me in such a physically fragile state.
So she insists he get out, look after himself. She sends him out for sessions at the gym. Very long sessions. Things are fragile, as they so often are with a new baby. But it's more than that.
He withdrew. He wasn't talking to me. He wasn't looking at me. He wouldn't make eye contact with me. It was just like having a servant robot in the house.
When her son is a few weeks old, Alex goes back to the hospital for a checkup. The doctors there are worried about her well-being and refer her to a psychiatrist, who ends up diagnosing her with postpartum depression.
It was the worst time of my entire life. It was the loneliest, saddest time of my whole life. I had all of these emotions that were just piled on top of one another. I had guilt for not feeling happier at having such a beautiful baby. I felt panic, feeling like Tom was about to leave me. I felt worried about his mental health. I felt desperate for connection with him. And I just felt sad. I felt that the love was gone from him. I could see that it was gone from him. I would beg him for hugs, which really I just felt quite pathetic. And
what would you say?
Please, can I have a hug before you go to work? If we were in bed, please, can you hold me? Can you hug me?
And would he?
He would, but it felt like I was hugging an acquaintance.
Alex is consumed by Tom's distance, exhausted by new motherhood, and starting to doubt herself.
I felt absolutely insane. I thought that I was having feelings that he was cheating and having dreams about him cheating because of the postnatal depression. I thought that it was just a me problem, that I needed to get my shit together. I really just felt like I was descending into madness. I felt like a burden on everyone, but especially on Tom.
And when the baby is 5 weeks old, Alex realises this can't go on.
I decided that something needed to give.
She gets in touch with her psychiatrist to ask if there's somewhere she can go, a facility where she and the baby can get the support they need. They set up an appointment to talk things through.
My mum was over. She was looking after my baby while I was in the shower. And Tom came home from work for his midday break, and he walked into the bathroom and he just said, "I can't do this anymore. I don't love you anymore and I'm leaving." And I jumped out of the shower and said, "Hang on a second, you can't just leave me like this. We need to talk about it."
And then the question she's been wanting to ask all along.
"Who is she? You've met someone." And he said, "No, no, no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's just been hard. It's too hard. I just can't do this. And we don't have a connection anymore and I don't love you."
She keeps asking.
"If you really haven't met someone else, then can you tell me if you have any new friends in your life that I don't know about? Can you tell me that much?" And he would say, "Well, actually, yeah, I do have some new friends, but they're just friends." "Okay, well, is this friend a girl?" And he said, "Yes." "Okay, So if I looked at the messages between you and this new friend, do you think that I would be happy about what I found? And he said, well, no, but nothing's happened.
Alex isn't buying it. She calls his bluff.
And that's when he admitted that he and this quote-unquote friend had actually slept together. They had had sex at the gym Christmas party 2 days prior. He was her personal trainer at the gym, so she was a member at the gym. It's such a cliche. It's so boring and so lazy. Like, he really just went for what was in front of him.
And now it's all out. Alex feels relieved.
I took a deep breath and just let the air out because I really felt like the veil just lifted. I knew I wasn't crazy. It was completely valid to feel the way that I had felt for the past 5.5 weeks. And I just felt like I didn't need to go to a mental health facility anymore because I wasn't actually crazy.
Alex is not crazy, but life now looks very different to the way she thought it would.
So through the day when it was just the chaos of doing everything that a baby needs done for them, there was no tears, it was just getting on with the job. But at night, in bed, when he was asleep, I would cry. I always had a box of tissues on my bed with me.
There are a lot of tears, but there's also her son.
In those early days where we were in the same room and he was in his little bassinet next to me, I could be laying there crying and then he would laugh in his sleep. And I would just smile and it would just make my heart feel warm.
Alex had been ambivalent about having a child and certain about Tom. And Tom had flipped everything she thought she wanted on its head.
What happened to me was depressing, but I've also got the greatest blessing that you could ask for in this world, a beautiful, healthy, bonny, happy little boy who just brings so much joy to my life. So it is a strange paradox to be the saddest you've ever been and the happiest you've ever been at the same time.
They're not parenting together like she thought they'd be, but Tom is still in their baby's life, and Alex wouldn't have it any other way. She wants what's best for her son.
He is the happiest little baby, and I just feel so lucky that he's just been such a breeze. He is such a joy to parent. He's just constantly smiling, constantly laughing.
This happy little boy just turned one.
We had a little cowboy-themed party. I had a pair of cowgirl boots that I wanted to break out, so it was really more about me. And it was just really cute to put him in his little neckerchief and to have a little cowboy-themed cake and everyone in their cowboy hats. He had a great time.
A year on, Alex sees a lot of herself in her son.
He looks very much like I did when I was his age, which I think is a kindness that was bestowed upon me by the universe to not be looking at Tom every day. I love watching him explore and doing things and seeing this knowledge soaking into his little spongy brain when he's trying to figure out little toys and little games and he's recognising faces. Like, he definitely knows who his people are.
Alex is still working on her mental health, still seeing her psychologist and getting support from the people she loves. But it's her connection to her son that carries her most of all.
It feels like a knowing. He feels like a part of me and I feel like a part of him. It just feels like we're completely entwined. And that bond started to develop as soon as I found out what was actually going on with Tom, because I just pushed all the Tom bullshit to the side and just was able to start focusing on building that connection with my son and finding the joy in being his mum.
This story was produced on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people. Our reporter was Tamar Cranswick. Our sound engineer on this episode was Isabella Tropiano. Sophie Townsend is our executive producer.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.